pay for that sewer system.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Stein.
I think what Representative Markham is referring to is the original bill gives the owner the absolute right to elect out, and yet your amendments refer to some kind of process where they have to go before a board. The bill is drafted right now. Sounds like you can just get out anytime you want. So if you want to go with this other process, you got to delete that part.
2968.
Am I not correct?
Why don't we get Gresham and Portland back up here again? We're going to have them comment on the bill anyway.
John.
Where's the amendment? He's speaking to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brad Higbee with the City of Portland.
Could we kind of hold up here until we get the amendments, please, Mr. Chair?
Sir.
Now, currently, people don't have a right to delay the assessment.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, they do in two instances. The first is, as you've heard in earlier testimony and earlier meetings, under the safety net program, those eligible have the authority to defer actual connection and thereby avoid connection-related costs. And the second category are those that are currently taken care of in both, I believe, the City of Gresham and the City of Portland in the same manner, is that there are particular and specific requests by individual property owners for deferrals of their connections. And there is a process to take care of that now, a fairly elaborate process, if I might say so, too.
Is that by ordinance or?
I believe it has been formally adopted by City Council by ordinance, but it was developed by staff working with the Citizen Sewer Advisory Board, which we've had in place for the last 2 years, to develop this process to allow for some of the exigencies of of the development of the sewer project. Currently, if a homeowner wishes to apply for a deferral, he or she applies to the city. The staff makes an initial review and a recommendation. I believe the figures are, for the last 2 years, there have been 240 requests for deferrals. Of that amount, 200 have been granted, and they range from 1 year to 5 years, and there's a five-year maximum, at which time they would reapply, and the circumstances would be reevaluated to see if it was necessary once again to do so. If, however, in those 40 instances, the staff recommendation is to deny deferral, there is an appeals board currently in place that is comprised of head of the Environmental Services Bureau, the city attorney, and a member of our Citizen Sewer Advisory Board. And all three have the authority to vote on recommendations by staff on requests for deferrals. Currently, the Citizen Advisory Board member that sits on the appeals board is the chairman of the Citizen Sewer Advisory Board, who wrote the letter that I believe was distributed to you a few minutes ago, expressing some concerns about the proposal as Representative Wehage has described it. Essentially, in the formation of our sewer plan and the development of the Citizen Sewer Advisory Board and appeals process of this sort, I believe it was the staff's intention and desire to initially have the Citizen Sewer Advisory Board serve that appellate body function. They declined. Essentially, they indicated that they didn't think they have the time to review the number of requests that have actually come in, 240, as I said. They're a volunteer board that has enough work of its own, really, to do to fill up each of its monthly meetings, and they felt they didn't really need this extra burden. Secondly, they were somewhat uncomfortable in reviewing the requests of their friends and neighbors. They figured that, particularly with some of the safety net eligibility issues, that perhaps it was best handled in a quieter manner, with staff review and appeal by the board that I previously described.
Is the main problem people not paying for what's in the ground, or is it a problem with actually wanting to get people hooked onto the system?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, we found that there genuinely is not a problem in this regard. We found, as staff members have indicated earlier on to us, that the requests for deferrals are extremely low. Interest in that option is minuscule. In fact, we have a 99.5% connection rate in the Mid-County area to date, so that it's not one of the major issues commonly brought forward by folks within the affected area. However, in those instances where there is an interest, it is reviewed very seriously, considered carefully, And as I said, 200 out of 240 have been granted.
How do you do it, Debbie?
Mr. Chair, I'm Debbie Sagan with the City of Gresham. Gresham's process works essentially the same way. If someone would like to defer their connection, their application for deferral is heard first by a member of our staff, and it is reviewed by both our engineering and technical staff as well as our accounting staff, since there are many criteria or many factors that go into making the decision about deferrals. If the property owner is not pleased with the decision that the city hands down, they can appeal that decision to the city manager. If the city manager continues to deny the request for deferral, then the applicant may take his or her case to the city council, and the city council can override the staff decision, can change their current policy in order to better handle perhaps a series of cases where folks are asking for deferrals, and there seems to be a trend or an issue that none of us had ever considered before. The City Council has the ability to change its policy and request that staff go back and alter the program to better meet the needs of the people in the county. So inserting the Citizen Advisory Board in the middle of that process, I'm assuming they would make their recommendation to the council after the staff has made their decision on the appeal. Representative Weehage was correct in stating that we have had a difficult time finding Citizen Advisory Committee members. We started out in March of 88 with a committee of three people. We decided in May of 88 that was too small, that in fact there were a number of issues and we needed better representation, and expanded to five members. The staff and the current members of the advisory committee would like to expand to seven, because once again we're connecting 7,000 households, and we think that having a well-rounded committee is very important. However, we are currently unable to find applicants who can meet the criteria, the one-third criteria, those folks who have to be eligible for financial relief under the safety net program. So that really is, that causes some concerns for me if the Citizen Advisory Committee is to act as a body in making a recommendation to the City Council on an appeal. If we cannot come up with a quorum of that Citizen Advisory Committee, we may be, in fact, delaying a decision that's very, very important both to the City of Gresham and to the affected property owner. So we felt that the two issues need to be dealt with at the same time.
Mr. Chairman, if I can underscore that point, we also heartily endorse that part of the amendment found in Section 3 of the amendments, Line 11, in that we also have found some difficulty in obtaining safety net eligible citizens willing to participate in the Citizen Sewer Advisory Board. Again, it meets monthly. There's a substantial workload, and the candidates are few and far between.
Sure.
Yes.
What's a safety net eligible?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Markham, under a legislation enacted last session,
the school safety net law you're talking about?
No, it's the Sewer Assessment Deferral Revolving Loan Fund Program, which is condensed to a Sewer Safety Net Program, which provides a level of benefits for lower-income homeowners in the affected area. To be eligible, the income criteria is that you can be no more than 200% of the poverty level, federal poverty level.
Thank you. What is the average cost of these sewer hookups in the various areas we're looking at here?
Mr. Chair, Representative Markham, in the City of Gresham, it's averaging between $5,000 and $7,000 for a single-family household, depending upon where the local improvement district is. So it's a substantial amount of money. I'd just like to add that the safety net program also covers institutions that may be unable to meet their assessments, their financial obligations to the City of Gresham, and it also applies to certain small businesses whose net income would be significantly reduced, and essentially the program would, or the sewer assessment would, put them out of business. It can also apply to owners of rental property. If a landlord can show that he will have to increase rent so significantly as to reduce the stock of low-income housing in our area. That person, too, may be eligible to defer connection until proper financing can be worked out so that rents in the mid-county area don't increase so rapidly as to force renters in the area out of those homes and into another part of the Portland metro area.
Would you like to reconsider your tax credit vote?
No. Oh.
Mr. Chair?
Just thought I'd give you the option. Yes, Representative Oakley.
Debbie, I have a question. For the systems development charge, now, is that part of this hookup charge? Are you considering that in that $5,000 to $7,000? Is that part of that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Oakley, that's a very good question. We had always assumed that the system development charge would be safety net eligible. In other words, that folks could defer those costs as well. We've found out that that is not the case. And as a matter of fact, a bill was just heard yesterday by Senate Government Operations and Elections Committee, Senate Bill 1001,
that's correct.
That would add systems development charges, actually all connection charges, to the list, the laundry list of items that can be deferred under and are eligible for the safety net.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How many deferrals did you have asked for during 1988?
Mr. Chair, Representative Oakley, that's a question that I can't answer because we haven't yet assessed any properties under our program. Our first assessments should be going out around June 1st of this year. So you'll have to pardon me, but I'm kind of peering into my crystal ball when I answer these questions. I can tell you how we think or hope that it will work, but we don't have any actual experience at this time.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Whitehead.
Right, you said there are 240 deferral applications, of which 200 were approved by staff. How many of the 40 were further appealed?
They can get an automatic deferral.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wehage, perhaps Mr. Gooley would have a ready response to your question.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wehage, the bulk of the requests were appealed to the Appeals Committee. And let me, if I could just briefly run down what the criteria for deferrals or allowances for deferrals are. You are allowed deferred connection if the structure that you want that's been required to connect is going to be demolished, if you're going to perform major remodeling, if the structure is not going to be occupied, if there are going to be multiple connections, if there are unanticipated events such as a government agency or a utility ripping up the street at the time that you're supposed to be connecting. In addition, there are temporary financial hardship reasons, any other unforeseen events that affect the household such as legal action, fire, catastrophes, major illness. Property owner incompetence due to illness, age, or infirmity will allow deferred connections. And then there are special variances on top of that. Generally speaking, the process has been working pretty well. The Special Appeals Board does report back to the Citizens Advisory Board, so they are involved. There is further appeals available to City Council if the person isn't happy with what the Appeals Board did. So there's actually a two-step or a three-step level of appeal for the connection deferrals. Another concern of the city is that this process is fraught with legal liabilities and that you have to ensure equal protection and equality of treatment of all the persons in the process, which requires significant documentation of the Appeals Board proceedings and ensure that precedents are not established, or if they are, that they're applied consistently to other property owners too. One of the two concerns raised by the citizens group were discomfort in having a public process like a CSAB meeting used to review the financial circumstances of an applicant, and also the commitment of a citizens board, a volunteer board, to the stringent legal requirements of documentation and review and so forth, so that you get consistent kinds of responses to appeals.
Mm-hmm.
for a connection deferral.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
The issue about the need to have a public hearing or public meeting for the final decision. In the case of Portland, I guess there's two city employees and a citizen representative.
Correct.
And I would presume that that is not a public meeting.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wehage, that is a public hearing or a public meeting. It doesn't have the notoriety that a CSAP meeting would have. And typically, you at the appeals board hearings, you only get the applicants themselves and the board members or the appeals board members. At a sewer advisory board, we typically hold those with announce them in advance, and you're more likely to get other kinds of attendees. And also, depending on what other topics are on the meeting schedule for that night, you could get a whole room full of people. And so as Brad pointed out, it was an idea that we originally thought would be the most appropriate for the sewer board to actually do. But again, as Brad already pointed out, the board itself elected not to become involved in that level. And in lieu of their direct total involvement, they elected that they would have a representative on the board, and that representative would report back periodically on the status of appeals and how the process was working. And that's been going. In our opinion, it's been working actually fairly well.
What is your pleasure with your amendment?
I'd like to continue pursuing it. I do have one recommendation for a change in wording as a result of Representative Markham's question. The wording in line 5, which remained unchanged with my amendment, said may elect to delay, which would suggest an absolute right. I would like to change that to may apply for a delay to indicate that it is subject to approval. And I would further comment that even though the Citizens Committee indicated that they would not want this authority, I would suggest that it would be easier to find people to serve on this committee if they did have this authority. And as we get further into the process, that there would be more interest in serving on the committee as these issues came up. Gresham's not even into it yet, and Portland has really just gotten into it in the last year and a half or so. This committee, the Citizen Advisory Committee, has been more a body to look at the regulations and the process in setting up the process, the methods that would be used to run the project. And I think that there is a transition here as we get into the construction phase, that these types of applications will become a regular activity. And I think there'll be less need for the Citizen Advisory Committee to review the methods and process, because that'll be in place and working, and more reason to have them do this type of review, because it will become a regular process. 240 applications in 2 years?
I believe it was the last 2 years.
40 of which would be referred on to the Citizen Committee. We wouldn't bother with those that would be approved by the staff. There'd be no reason to. But the 40 that would be appealed, we'd have the Citizen Advisory Committee take a first look at it. And their recommendation would be very valuable then to the body that makes the final decision.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wehage, I think I might have misspoken myself, as they say, in the earlier part of my testimony. Perhaps Dave could help me out. In terms of the 240, that was the total number of applications for a deferral. I'm not precisely sure of the actual total number that went to the appeals board of that amount, but of that amount, 200 deferrals were actually granted. Do you know the number that actually went to the appeals board, if it was all 240?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wehage, no, I do not. That 240 includes safety net eligibles themselves, of which there's been about 85 or so participants. So those were granted deferral automatically, and the balance were ones that were outside the safety net program. Of those, if you subtracted those out, there would be roughly 120 that have been granted, of which 50 have gone ahead and connected since they were allowed the connection deferral.
Representative Markham.
How does the safety net person eventually pay for it? They can't pay now because they're
low income, what happens down the road 5 years?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Markham.
Giving them 5 years to get with it?
In 5 years, you have the opportunity either to reapply or to then finance your deferred assessment through the Bancroft Bond Program, commence making payments at that time. During the interim time, the assessment is actually paid for, that is, the contractor is paid and the project closed out, with state funds, which are loaned to local governments who operate these programs. And when the assessment is paid back at the time the deferral period ends, then the state funds are then paid back to the state by the local government.
And what is the carrying charge when they say, I want a deferral?
At the current time, the carrying charge is 5% simple interest.
Again, it's subsidized.
It's subsidized.
For everybody.
Correct.
Whether they're under the safety net or not.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Markham, no, that's the cost of deferring to property owners who are eligible for the safety net program.
What about the one who can get a deferral and isn't eligible for safety? What do you charge them for carrying it?
The property owners who acquire a connection deferral still must pay their sewer assessment. What they are deferring is the cost of the private plumbing and the connection charge.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Markham, there is no charge per se for a deferral of connection to the sewer system. There's no extra cost to the homeowner for that. If a homeowner, however, is participating in the sewer safety net program, that person for the deferred amounts must pay a 5% interest charge per year, and that's established by the Environmental Quality Commission.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Oakley.
Now, is the safety net just for low-income people?
That's correct.
Thank you.
John?
I just wanted to clarify a point. Mr. Gooley went through a list of the criteria that must be met in order to obtain a deferral. I just had a question of what Representative Wehage. In line 6 of the printed bill, this would appear to add an additional eligibility requirement to that list by indicating that even if the person did not meet any of those other deferral requirements, if they had an on-site operating sewage disposal system, that would be an eligibility requirement to obtain a deferral?
That is correct.
Okay.
I would just pose that question then to Dave.
I'd be happy to answer that, at least from Gresham's perspective. That is already a criteria of ours. No one can defer connection to the sewer system unless their existing cesspool is operational and functional. Certainly we don't want to, you know, further complicate the groundwater quality issue by allowing a deferral of connection to somebody with a failing septic system.
No. Well, but my point was is that this would appear to indicate that this might be the only criteria that they would have to meet. Am I correct? They would not have to meet any additional criteria other than having an operational sewage disposal system.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that the wording may apply for implies that there are other conditions, and it's subject to further review and approval. I don't think that, certainly the intent is, I don't have the intent of having this as the only criteria for approval.
I was just trying to clarify that for purposes of amending that.
The wording here would suggest that if they do not have an existing on-site operating sewage disposal system, that they could not even apply for a deferral.
Representative Stein.
Yeah. I wonder if we even need the printed bill. I assume that in somewhere in ORS 454, they outline what you have to do to apply for a delay or a deferral. And I don't know that we want to start putting in some new language that may not match that. So it seems like that's not necessary. My other question is your intent here to get rid of this appeals board, the current appeals board? Or are we going to have essentially a three-level system here of appeals, which seems extremely cumbersome to me?
Representative Stein, my intent is that it would be essentially three levels, but the three levels would only come into operation should the staff disapprove the original application. In my understanding, and this is a question I wanted to pose to the representatives of Gresham and Portland also, as far as My understanding is that the appeals board, in the case of Portland, it's the three-member board, in the case of Gresham, it's the city council, only looks at an application if it were denied and then subsequently appealed. They don't look at all 240, in the case of Portland anyway, they don't rubber stamp the decision that was already made by the staff. They would only look at the 40 that were denied, and then only if they were appealed by the property owner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wehage, to go the full route, you would have to be denied by staff, then denied by the appeals board, then denied by the commissioner in charge of the bureau, and then denied by city council. So there's essentially four steps in the appeal process.
Mr. Chairman, I would further suggest again that this is an advisory committee, and the intent is to bring citizen involvement directly into this process so that there would be a greater sense that citizen comment was being taken into account in the decision-making process.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Stein.
Why don't you just get rid of this appeals board then? Seems like this is practically more appeals rights than you have in the U.S. Constitution.
But is the appeals board in the, is that addressed in the amendments, or the local body could get rid of that if they wanted to? The three-person.
Mr. Chairman, that's my understanding in talking with the city representatives, that is not in statute right now. The appeals board, the three-member Portland board, and I don't know about the appeal process in Gresham, but the three-member appeals board, I think that's more of an administrative. The intent, of course, is to lessen the work for the city council and for the commissioners, that there is a lower body that would look at the facts and make a decision and make a recommendation to those if the process is further appealed. And I think at each step, the homeowner has the opportunity to drop the appeal. I mean, if he gets a negative opinion from the citizens committee, he might opt not to take it any further. Or if there's a negative decision on the part of the appeals board, you might opt at that point not to take it any further. But I think it's their prerogative to take it further if that mechanism is set up.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Seitz.
Let me ask you, now the members of the advisory committee serve, of course, without pay. Do they have any funding at all?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cease, they are, they have the staff support of the Bureau. They serve without pay. I don't know that they're provided even with the per diem.
But minutes, and they would have some clerical assistance. So
they would be provided with clerical support.
Is there a concern in the, here in reference to this proposal that what you, in fact, may end up doing is delaying the process and making the process difficult to operate.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cease, I believe that's precisely our concern. Not only would it add, as Representative Stein indicated, some cumbersomeness to the process, not to make up any more words as I did earlier, but would also provide for perhaps some delay in going through the official hearings process. And further, when you actually ensure that the equal protection is taken care of through this new Citizens Advisory Board process, you might actually be reducing the flexibility of the appellate function that currently exists if you have to adhere to rigid principles and such to protect the interests of the entire public.
There would be possibly the issue also of continuity as members turned over, of ensuring that the process was consistent over time.
Chair, how do you go about trying to find members for a body like this?
Representative Young, Representative Cease, in the city of Gresham, we have a variety of methods for finding members to serve on our Citizens Advisory Committee. Advertisements in the newspaper. We've written letters to community leaders out in the area, including neighborhood association members, community group leaders, trade associations, churches, the posting bulletins at the local supermarket. We've tried everything. and we continue to advertise on radio and over cable and do all of the things that we can think of to try to solicit new members.
John?
No.
They used to get them where?
In Portland by Shanghai, down the waterfront there.
Just in response to a point that Representative Stein raised, the existing statute appears to be silent with regard to the need for any local deferral programs other than the safety net program. So the criteria and process by which this other deferral program has been set is something that is purely local in nature and subject to local administration.
However, it is also part of DEQ's requirements or rules overseeing the deferral, the assessment deferral program, so that we had to put in place in our safety net program an appeals process for these very issues. And we included in our appeals process those folks who may not be safety net eligible but were in fact considered for deferral of connection. So we use the same appeals process as does Portland. I believe that's what Mr. Gulley was just pointing out to you, for the safety net and for deferral of connection.